The word of the Lord from the book of Leviticus, chapter 18. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. So far the reading. In the name of our Lord. The people of the Old Testament, from the time of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, lived and moved about in a world dominated by great civilizations. When God called these people, when he gave them his promises and faith to believe in those promises, he did not send them off into some remote corner of the world. He placed them right smack at the crossroads of the ancient world, right at that point where the ancient civilizations converged and clashed. When we first meet the patriarch Abraham in the Bible, his family was living at the city of Ur, near the head of the Persian Gulf. This city was one of the main centers of the ancient Sumerian civilization. A generation ago, a well-known historian wrote a book about Sumerian civilization in which he discussed 39 aspects of civilization which we take for granted today, which had their beginnings, so far as we know, with the ancient Sumerian people. The list includes things relating to writing and literature, mathematics and physics, economics and business, architecture, agriculture, the beginnings of technology, and the list goes on. Abraham and his family were not hicks from the sticks, as we say. In all likelihood, they were well acquainted with the most advanced thinking that the best minds of their day were producing in every area of life. The migration of the patriarchal clan would eventually bring them to another great center of ancient civilization, to Egypt. The achievements of ancient Egyptian civilization are well known to us. So successful was that civilization that its endurance is measured not just in hundreds of years, but in thousands of years. The Egyptians themselves were well aware of their achievements in relation to other cultures. They boasted shamelessly of their superiority over other peoples. Egyptian literature contains material which today would be labeled as crassly ethnocentric and racist. From the heights of their pyramids, so to speak, the Egyptians looked down on the rest of mankind as grossly inferior to them. The Israelites lived for 430 years in the midst of Egyptian culture. And in the seventh chapter of the book of Acts, Stephen the martyr includes in his overview of Israel's history that Moses, the great leader at the time of the Exodus from Egypt, was, quote, learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. After leaving Egypt, the Israelites settled in another area which had an outstanding culture, the land called Canaan. And it is evident from the Bible that the Israelites knew much about that civilization and were frequently drawn to it and influenced by it in some very powerful ways. So what we have determined so far is that the preacher is a real history geek. But what does this have to do with anything? Our reading is from the book of Leviticus. The Israelites had recently fled from Egypt in connection with all those dramatic events, the plagues and the Egyptians, culminating in the events of Passover night, the death of the firstborn in every Egyptian household, the miraculous crossing of the sea, the destruction of the Egyptian army, and the trek deep into the Sinai wilderness. They were encamped at Mount Sinai, where the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, revealed himself in the midst of the people of Israel through his servant Moses. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This was the word of God by which he reaffirmed that these people were his unique possession, a holy nation, redeemed and delivered from bondage by the grace of God. Well, what did it mean to be a holy nation? This section from the book of Leviticus spells that out. It meant that they were to be a people set apart for a unique purpose among the nations of mankind. That was the essential meaning of the word holy. And here it is before our eyes every day in our chapel on the pyramids, kadosh in the Hebrew language. Holy, it means set apart from things ordinary, everyday, common, and profane. And the application of the concept of holy was this, in the words of our reading, according to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. Egyptian and Canaanite civilizations were great and glorious. The Israelites knew those cultures, and they were influenced by them. But they were not to provide the pattern for the culture of the people of God's choosing, his kingdom of priests, his holy nation. The blueprint for Israel's identity was this directive from God: you shall observe my judgments, not those of the Egyptians, and keep my ordinances, not those of the Canaanites, to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. The ancient Israelites were given this deep sense and awareness that they had been called out of the world in which they lived to be a people set apart, not by virtue of cultural superiority over others, or moral superiority, or intellectual superiority, or any other human standard. Their status as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation was established by this, that by the grace of God, they possessed the promises of God and the faith to believe those promises, that he would deliver them ultimately from the ravages of sin and death. In that truth, they were holy, a people set apart. Therefore, their God said to them, keep my ordinances to walk in them. Those ordinances are summarized in the two great commands: love God with heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now it becomes clear from the history of Israel that they did not become a holy people by fulfilling the conditions set forth in the demand for perfect love toward God and neighbor. Their history is the record of failure in that regard. Rather, the relationship was this: God has made you his holy people by giving you his promises and the faith to believe them. Now live as a holy people in love toward God and neighbor. Here in this chapel, day after day, week after week, the promises of God about our redemption from sin, death, the curse of the law, and the power of the devil are set before us. By these promises, God calls us, as he called his ancient people, to be his holy people, a people set apart. His word addresses you in this way: you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let us all pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have made us heirs of your eternal and great promises. Increase in us daily the gifts of faith, hope, and love, that we may love all that you command, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.